We'll hear again about an arsonist who is so good at what he does that he has never been beaten by the authorities, and we'll see how much farther Arnold Bennett gets in tonight's story as we bring in some more principles and just make things more mysterious for our intrepid insurance investigator, yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is the Bennett Matter from February of 1956.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Billy Underwood, Johnny. They're trying to get you all over town. The hotel said to call you at this Skyline number.
I'm out at Arnold Bennett's house. He's been shot.
What?
Not right.
Well, who shot him?
Don't know yet. They're giving him a transfusion here before they take him to the hospital.
Uh-huh. Look, Johnny, I got something to show you.
Yeah, what?
Some ashes we just analyzed. The Bennett building was fired by a pro. He used celluloid and a wick made out of paraffin. I can prove it.
I hope Bennett lives to hear that.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Four State Fire Insurance Corporation, 4065 Spear Boulevard, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Bennett arson fraud. Arnold Bennett was removed to the hospital where he was given a 50-50 chance of recovering from a .38 slug that had entered his chest. There was no weapon lying about and no witnesses in the remote, hilly section of San Francisco where he lived to give any information concerning the attempted murder. The police were more anxious than ever to find Tony Midas, the man Bennett had put the finger on earlier. Their reasoning was that if he could burn down a building worth $500,000 to get back at Arnold Bennett, he also might shoot him. I told Andy Cord about Underwood's findings when the police car got us to the scene of the shooting.
Celluloid and paraffin wick, did you say?
Yeah, that's what Bill Underwood said on the phone.
Well, then it would point away from Tony Midas. He was an embezzler, not an arsonist.
Maybe. Who's that policeman over there?
Oh, that's Inspector Dickens.
Well, I talked to him about it for a while. He said Midas lived in San Quentin with a man named Hanley, a professional burner.
Yeah?
Well, Hanley could have taught Midas a few tricks of the trade.
Yeah, it's possible, Jimmy.
I don't know. At least Underwood is sure that he can prove it had an incendiary origin.
Well, that's the first hurdle. Maybe we can't tie it to Bennett at that, Johnny, if Midas did it.
Now, let's wait and see what Bennett has to say when he can talk.
I think I'll get on over to the hospital.
Okay.
Oh, here's something that came up.
Yeah?
Now, you said Bennett attributed everything to this Tony Midas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there might have been something personal in it, too. Midas is married to Bennett's niece, Elizabeth.
His what?
Yeah, she married him a month before he was convicted.
That might explain some things. Yeah, she called me tonight and said she had some information for me about Midas. I was on my way to see her when this happened.
Oh, you haven't talked to her yet, huh?
No, let's see. It is 1038 Murata Drive. Wonder if that's far from here.
No, Johnny, not far at all. This happens to be 1038. Right here.
Oh. Well, we better tell the police about her, Andy. Andy Cord went on over to the hospital to await results on Arnold Bennett. I spoke to the inspector in charge and told him the information about Elizabeth Bennett. The police added the name to the APB already out for Tony Midas. And that's the way the case stood at midnight. By morning, the hospital reported that Arnold Bennett would recover from the gunshot wound. Elizabeth Bennett had not been located, nor had her husband, Tony Midas.
I always fix my own dinner. Poached egg and half and half. Ulcers. Name's Dollar?
Yeah, that's right. Insurance investigator.
You want something, do you? Coffee, maybe?
No, thanks, Mr. Engel.
Mind if I finish?
Go right ahead.
Well, what led you to me?
The notations about the trial, Mr. Engel. You were the defense attorney for Tony Midas. We're anxious to talk to him.
I defended him, yes. I don't think I'm going to be much help, Dollar. I haven't seen him since he got out. I've no idea where he is.
We'll find him, Mr. Engel.
What's it all about?
Well, Tony Midas has been identified as the man who started a fire in the Bennett building.
Or at least it was seen in the vicinity of the building when it went up.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Are you, Mr. Engel?
Tony Midas was a nice kid who got in a little trouble. Everything was against him at the trial. Bennett poured it on. He didn't have to, but he did. He could have let him off.
You were Midas's lawyer. Did you try to talk Bennett into letting Midas off?
No, I didn't. Nobody talks Arnold Bennett into anything.
Oh?
Tony never would admit taking the funds. He said he was framed, but he didn't have a prayer with all the evidence against him.
Yeah, I read a transcript of the trial.
Then you know Tony Midas pleaded not guilty in the face of everything, and he went up. I wanted him to make a guilty plea and rest on the mercy of the court. It was his first offense.
Well, he's out now, and it looks like he's trying to get even with Bennett for prosecuting him.
All for a lousy $10,000.
Yeah. Did he ever get in touch with you?
I told you, no.
No phone call?
No.
Do you have any idea where he'd be in town, Mr. Engel?
No, I don't.
Okay. Then I guess I'll leave you to your eggs.
Dollar.
Yeah.
If you find Tony Midas, I'd like to know about it.
Why, Mr. Engel?
Oh, just curious. I'd like to see him. I'd like to see what 5 years in prison does to a kid like that.
Mr. Engel, Arnold Bennett was shot in his home last night.
No.
That's all you have to say?
What else is there to say?
Well, you could have asked, is he alive or is he dead, for one thing.
Suppose I don't care.
Okay, he's still alive. They think he'll pull through. Who do you think shot him, Mr. Engel?
I don't know.
They're looking for Tony Midas for that, too.
Oh?
Did you know Bennett's niece?
Elizabeth? Yes, I met her.
Well, they're looking for her, too. She's married to Tony Midas.
Yes, I knew. I knew about that.
Sit down, Mr. Engel.
Oh, what is this going to be, an inquisition?
That egg and that half and half doesn't interest you, no matter how much you look at it.
Well, you ought to leave me alone and go find your firebug.
Come on, let's have the story.
I don't know any story to tell you.
Was it spite that sent Tony Midas to prison because of him and Elizabeth Bennett?
No, they proved him a thief.
I'll throw one more thing at you, Engel. Bennett wasn't always too good about paying his taxes.
Now, look here.
Our accounting man has him pegged him for exactly what he is, an opportunist, a dodger. A man out to get what he can for as little as he can, no matter what. Yeah, we cover everything in a case like this.
You'll never get Arnold Bennett. He's too good for you, Dollar. Too good for your insurance company, your fire investigators, everybody. No man stronger ever lived.
We've already got evidence that proves the building was fired. I'm here to get all the story, and I think you're the man who can tell it.
Why me?
Because you work for him.
I never worked for him, never.
All right, we'll let that go for now. But you can tell me this. Was Tony Midas the kind of man who'd start that fire? You can tell me if he really was an embezzler. You can tell me if he tried to kill Arnold Bennett.
I can't tell you anything for a fact, Dollar. All I have is my own personal opinion.
Well, that's what I want. I want that. I'd like your opinion. Now, there's something about Bennett's niece being married to Midas, isn't there?
A wife can't testify against her husband. Everyone else in Bennett's office testified against Midas. She didn't.
I see. Now the opinion. Oh, come on, Engel, come on.
You're right, Dollar. I have got ideas. All of them make me sick inside. Tony Midas stood there and told me he was innocent. He said it a million times if he said it once. He said he thought Bennett was framing him.
To cover up for income tax shortages?
It's just surmise, but it fits. Midas was a green kid hired into the company by Bennett. He might have been hired to be framed on a phony embezzling charge that'd give Bennett a good excuse on his taxes for a while. I've been fooled a lot of times.
Did Tony Midas fool you?
I don't know. I wish I could have gotten him off. I tried, Dollar. Believe me, I tried to get him off. You come here to me and say he's out of prison now and getting even. He's burnt down a building and tried to murder Arnold Bennett. Tony was a nice boy, Dollar. But now his whole life's gone, and for what? I hope you don't find him or her. I hope they go far away and stay away and don't have to talk to anybody ever. They deserve that. I hope nobody ever finds him.
But we did find Tony Midas. He was right under our noses all the time. When I got back to the hotel, there was a message for me to get down to the county hospital. Cord was waiting for me there. They took us downstairs, and then we were both standing in a room looking at Tony Midas before they took him across the hall to the morgue.
It's a funny thing, Johnny. There's been an alarm out on this guy for 36 hours.
Everybody's been looking everywhere for him, and he turns up right here. Only he's dead.
Yeah. What killed him?
TB. He had it awful bad in San Quentin. It's in the sick ward his last 2 years. When his time was up last week, he made them release him. But he wound up here and died in this hospital. It's rough. He's just a kid.
Yeah. Up until that time, there had been some kind of a case against Tony Midas. But obviously, since he had been dead almost 2 days, it was impossible to connect him with the attempt on Arnold Bennett's life and the firing of the building. So we were right back where we started from, trying to make a case against Arnold Bennett, who still lay in his hospital room and refused to talk to anybody who came near him.
All right, Johnny, now what?
Bennett's going to be hard. We're going to have to work around him. His niece is the best opening I can think of.
But where is she?
Police haven't located her yet.
No, not a trace.
Andy, she had some information for me when she called last night. I still want to get it.
Hello, Bill. We got a break. George Foley's in town.
Who's that?
Best celluloid and wick man in the country. If you happen to want a building burnt down. One of the policemen at the hospital spotted him in the lobby trying to see Arnold Bennett.
Not a tired, Johnny.
Where is he now?
They followed him to an address on Berengo Street. They aren't going to move in until we decide something.
12 minutes later, Andy Cord, Bill Underwood, and I were standing in front of a decrepit-looking boarding house on Berengo Street talking to the three policemen from the San Francisco Police Department.
Dollar? Underwood?
Hi. Hey, what's the story, officer?
Well, the way we see it, Foley's still trying to get part of his money for burning the building. He took a chance coming to the hospital tonight to see Bennett.
No kidding.
He'll probably make another try. You boys have more at stake here than anybody. If you want to talk to him, try to make a deal with him to turn on Bennett. Now's the time.
Now, what do you say, Johnny?
Now, wait a minute. We aren't sure of anything about him.
Well, he fills the bill, Johnny. Paraffin and wick jobs are few and far between. With nothing more than that, I'd stake my rep on Foley being our boy.
For what it's worth, all three witnesses now pick his picture instead of Midas.
Oh, well, a good defense attorney, get that thrown right out.
What do you want to do?
Let's shake him up a bit, okay?
Go ahead. We'll be covering the back and front.
Come on.
Shot, Andy?
No. All right. That's enough. You okay, Bill, Andy?
Okay.
Yeah. All right, tough boy. Get on your feet and let's get out of here.
Here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, we have an arsonist right in the palm of our hands with very surprising results. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood, written by John Dawson. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Roy Rowan speaking. from Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Andrew Cord, Johnny.
How's it going, Andy?
Well, the police have been talking to that arsonist, George Foley, all night long. He won't admit a thing. Won't talk about anything. They're wondering now how long they can hold him.
He's the man who fired that building, Andy.
Well, we've got to have something more for the district attorney, Johnny. We haven't tied Foley to Bennett at all. If we can definitely charge him with firing that building, then we'll have a lever to go after Bennett.
I got an idea.
What?
Meet you in an hour.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Four State Fire Insurance Corporation, 4065 Spear Boulevard, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Bennett arson matter. Expense account item 6, $1, two drinks. Andrew Cord and myself in Cookie's Place, a half a block from San Francisco's Hall of Justice. Andy's a good insurance man, thorough.
Well, it's pretty certain they'll have to release Foley unless he admits something, or we can find more evidence against him.
How about Bennett?
Still no word. Johnny, you can see what we're up against.
Yeah. Want one?
No, thanks, Johnny. It's for a while.
Listen, we had this case tied into Tony Midas until he turned up dead. A vengeance motive against Bennett for sending him to prison 5 years ago.
Yeah?
All right. Now we know it wasn't Midas, and we're sure it's this George Foley. At least according to Bill Underwood, and Bill certainly knows the arson racket.
Yeah, no man better.
All right, then. Who shot Bennett?
Oh, I don't know, Johnny, but that's not our worry at the moment.
Think, Andy, think. It might have been Foley. It couldn't have been Midas. But there is someone else.
You mean Bennett's niece?
Sure, his niece. She had a reason because of what Bennett did to Midas, who was her husband. And she's got a reason to help us.
Yeah. Nobody can find her. Nobody knows where she is.
They'll find her. And I want to make a deal.
What?
Sure. If I find her, I'll ask her what information she can give us about Bennett and Foley. Possibly she has something. She said she did once. Now, look, if she shot her uncle, she'll have to stand for assault and attempt to kill. Can we give her legal help in her case?
Johnny, I don't know.
I want to know if I can promise her that if I see her. Can I?
Well, you can... Tell her that we'll do what we can, the very best that we can.
Okay, good. Want another drink?
No, thanks, John.
All right, I'll try and get in touch with Elizabeth Bennett.
How? The police haven't gotten anywhere.
Oh, I've been here 2 days, and I got friends all over this town. Expense account item 7, $1.05, cab fare. From the Hall of Justice to the apartment house of Marty Engel, lawyer, philosopher, and egg poacher.
Again?
Yeah. You better close that door and lock it, Mr. Engel.
It's awful late for this. Are you drunk?
Nope.
Locked. Now what?
You asked me if I ever found Tony Midas to tell you about it. We found him, Mr. Engel. He's dead.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And he didn't do any of the things we thought he might have done. I'm here to find out what you might have done.
How did he die?
Tuberculosis. He's had it for 2 years. Didn't know.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know about it.
I don't know how to figure you, Engel. I haven't been able to ever since I met you. Doesn't make any difference what I think of you, but it does make a difference how you answer one question. A lot of difference to you.
What is it?
Did you help Arnold Bennett frame Tony Midas and send him up to San Quentin?
You say Tony is dead. Now, what difference...
Did you help Bennett frame him?
No, I told you I defended Tony Midas in court. I tried my best to get him off. That's the truth.
You're sure of that?
I'm an honest man, if not a successful one. I told you the truth.
All right, then. If that's the truth, you're not in any trouble and you can unlock that door. But if it's not the truth, you might get yourself killed.
Why do you say that?
Because somebody took a shot at Arnold Bennett last night. But he was lucky. It didn't kill him, but it came pretty near. You know who that somebody was?
Elizabeth.
That's a good guess. She hasn't got anything to lose now. She lost her husband. She might be out getting even for him if he was framed. And she thinks you helped frame him.
I tell you, I didn't frame him. I defended him. I think Bennett stacked everything against him. I told you that once. I think Midas was an innocent man, but there was nothing I could do.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
Shh. Who are you expecting?
No one.
Ask who it is. Go ahead, ask who it is.
Who is it?
Elizabeth Bennett, Mr. Engel.
Tell her just a minute.
Just a minute, Elizabeth.
Okay, over there. Go on, get down fast.
All right, all right.
No, you don't!
Engel, call the police. Hold it. Hold it, Elizabeth. Hold it up.
You?
Are you hurt?
No, I'm all right. Did I kill him? Did I kill him?
No, Elizabeth, you didn't kill him.
He ought to be dead.
You don't know what you're talking about. He didn't have anything to do with framing Tony. He just told me.
And he was lying. He should be dead. He and my uncle.
None of this will bring Tony back to you. Come on now. Come on. Let's get back.
How many tramps have you met in your life, Mr. Dollar?
A few. Come on. Come on.
When you met my Uncle Arnold, you met a real one. He stole money from himself and made it look like Tony did it. And that one in there helped him. Why didn't you let me kill him?
You're wrong about Engel. He didn't help your uncle. He tried to help Tony, honestly.
Then I'm glad I didn't kill him. How's my uncle?
He's getting better.
Will he go to prison?
We have to prove he hired somebody to fire the office building.
He hired George Foley. I know that.
Would you swear to
yes.
it?
Yes.
Can you?
Yes. Blamed it on Tony. When I went over to see Tony last month in the prison hospital, he was dying. Oh, I knew it. He had that look in his eyes. Helpless. And he knew what my uncle had done to him, and he couldn't do anything about it.
But you figured you could. You shot your uncle when you found out Tony was dead. And you came here to kill Engel.
I thought he helped Uncle Arnold send Tony to prison. I thought he helped kill Tony. They did kill him, you know, when they sent him to prison. They killed him as surely as if they'd shot him down. 5 years I waited for Tony to get out of that awful place. I waited to hold him in my arms and tell him it was all over. 5 years I waited to help him forget his hate, my hate. For loving him so much every day that... Now he's dead. What can you or I or anybody do about what they've done to Tony? Look at me, Mr. Dollar. I'm not what you'd call beautiful. I'm not even pretty. Nobody ever looked at me twice until Tony. He looked at me and he loved me. And now he's dead. And I'm dead inside. I'm dead inside, and I'll be glad when I'm dead outside.
Shooting in this neighborhood?
Wait a minute, officer.
What's that?
No one's hurt. Come on, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Bennett made a statement down at the Hall of Justice admitting she fired a shot at Arnold Bennett, hoping to kill him. She also admitted the assault on the lawyer, Marty Engel. Charges were immediately filed, and she was held in the woman's section of the city jail. In a separate statement, she told how she had seen Arnold Bennett meet George Foley in a downtown bar. Foley still maintained that he had nothing to do with the fire in the Bennett building and denied any connection with Arnold Bennett. I gave Elizabeth Bennett's statement to Andy Cord, and he took it to the assistant district attorney. I was still in the Hall of Justice when Marty Engel came in.
Dollar?
Oh, hello, Mr. Engel.
How is Elizabeth?
They're holding her.
I'm not going to press any charges.
Well, that's pretty decent of you, Mr. Engel.
She's a pretty unhappy girl. I'd like to help her.
Her uncle will probably press charges against her.
I'd like to defend her. What? She needs a lawyer. I didn't do very well for her husband. Maybe I can do better for her.
I hope so.
Funny world, isn't it?
Not tonight, it isn't.
No, I guess not. Yeah. Well, I'll see you, Mr. Dollar.
Right.
Johnny?
Oh, Andy, hi.
Well, kid, you ought to pat yourself on the back. They're going to go ahead against George Foley for the arson job.
Enough for them now, huh?
That's a pretty good case against him, whether he opens up and talks or not.
A statement from him would still be better.
Always. But he's been around, Johnny. He hasn't given anybody the time of day yet.
Yeah.
Oh, about Elizabeth Bennett. I can arrange counsel for her.
She's already got a lawyer, Andy.
Okay, then we'll pay his fee.
He doesn't want any fee.
What's the matter, kid?
Boy, maybe all this has been a little too much. Hey, what time is it?
10:15.
There's a plane out at midnight. If you don't need me anymore, I think I'll be getting back to Hartford.
Sure, Johnny. Sure, I'll look after things here.
Expense account item 7, $49.65, hotel and meals in San Francisco. Item 8, same as item 3, transportation back to Hartford. I caught the midnight plane. It was in Hartford at 2 o'clock the next afternoon. I went directly to my apartment and went to bed. I was awakened the following morning about 7 o'clock. What the... Johnny Dollar.
San Francisco calling Mr. Dollar.
Okay.
Is this Mr. Dollar?
Yes, yes.
Mr. Andrew Cord is calling. One moment, please. Go ahead, please.
Johnny?
Hi.
Can you come back to San Francisco right away?
Can I... Well, I just got home.
We need you again. Jake Eggleston is going to defend Foley in court.
Eggleston?
He's already got him out on a writ.
What?
This case is worth $500,000 to us, Johnny. If anything happens that Foley gets off, we won't have a chance to get Bennett.
You sound scared.
I am. Somehow, Bennett's holding the best cards again.
We got a good case against Foley. Once that's settled, we can get Bennett.
I want to make sure.
Okay, I'll get the first plane.
Thanks, Johnny.
Even as I hung up the phone, I was thinking of Marty Engel's words. You'll never get Arnold Bennett. He's too good for you, Dollar. Too good for your insurance company, your fire investigators, everybody. No stronger man ever lived, he said. And somebody had to prove Engel was wrong.
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, a fight against a strong man and one of the cleverest lawyers in the country. Join us in court. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Two episodes of The Bennett Matter. We heard episodes 2 and 3 out of 5. Our story comes from the last week of February 1956 with Bob Bailey as yours truly, Johnny Dollar. A Hawthorne classic next from Favorite Story as old-time radio drama continues here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.